here on the starting lineup. That's Perry Solkowski. He's Rick Dhaliwal, and I'm James Cebulski, and we are joined on the line by Hockey Hall of Famer, former Vancouver Canuck, Matt Sundin. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, guys.
Do you ever get tired of hearing Hockey Hall of Famer Matt Sundin?
No, I'm still not used to hearing that, but it sounds good when you say it, though. Thanks.
How's life these days? I mean, we seem to be more used to you selling poker and casinos these days and watching out for what big waves hitting you in the commercial and all that. How is life?
Life is good. Three small children, living back in Stockholm since retiring. Very busy life. We have a daughter, 6 years old. We have a little son that is three, and we have another small little boy who's 15 months old. I'm busy, not so much skating, but other things. So, but life is good. Thanks for asking.
That would keep you very busy, Matt. If the oldest is six, do you start to bring sports into the equation now? And will you do that when the son gets a little older and put him on skates?
Yes, for sure. Our daughter is skating already. She's taking skating classes. So we're for sure. We want to introduce sports. You know, I'm from a big sports family. Obviously, they can do whatever they want, but obviously, sports is important. I think it's very, very important for the kids to be moving and stay healthy.
We see, with the Stanley Cup, and we see what Joe Sakic did in Colorado, now, of course, with Steve Yzerman. You know, if you look at all the Swedish stars, yourself, Peter, Nick Lidstrom, you know, Marcus, how many of you are tied into or have a passion, maybe, do you later on in life to get involved, whether it be in the NHL or back home in Sweden in the Elite League too, in a managerial level? Is that something that you thought of? And are more guys doing that than we know of? Because it seems the Swedish superstars go back home and just enjoy life and stay away from hockey.
I don't know. As you guys know, part of management, I mean, the playing hockey in the National Hockey League, I would say, is the easiest part. You know, you come to work, everything's prepared for you, you go out and skate, you play a game that you love, you're passionate, but, they're really hard work. And I was part of management for the World Cup in Toronto here a couple of years ago, and just to watch what it takes and the commitment to be part of management, and it's a big commitment. So I think a lot of Swedes realize that, and you need to have the same passion and dedication to be a management at elite level in the National Hockey League. Takes the same commitment as a player, so, and a lot more work and hours. So in my case, I can't speak for the other guys, but in my case, it's been hockey's been such a big part of my life for a long time. I still obviously love the game of hockey, and I watch it all the time, but I know the management part, and I watched it in closer in the World Cup. It's hard work, and right now that time isn't there in my life.
Matt, Sweden won the World Hockey Championships again. What is it about the Swedish hockey system? I find the Sweden players in the NHL have more creativity and skill than a lot of the other Europeans. What is it about the system in Sweden? Is it the minor hockey coaches? Is it more ice time? Is it less games in the regular season for minor hockey kids? Why is Sweden producing so many good hockey players?
And I agree with you, and it's probably better than ever. I think the Swedish Ice Hockey Federation has done a great job with the program, and they're when our young prospects are 15 years old, they're looking at them, they're gathering all of them for different camps, they educate them, and a big part that I think we do really well in Sweden is the physical aspect of becoming an elite player in the National Hockey League or reaching the national team for Team Sweden. It takes a certain standard of physical capacity, if I can say so, in terms of your work capacity, your strength and fitness has to be at a certain level. I think Sweden is really good with that education, if I can say that. And you look at, I mean, forget the World Championship. You look at now, there might be seven or eight Swedish kids going in the first round this year in the draft. I mean, Rasmus Dahlin, everybody knows about him. But there's a whole bunch of young players coming in the next couple of generations there. So it's been a good program. It was good when we played with kids, but it's better than ever. And the depth, it's deeper than it's ever been in Swedish hockey on the talent side.
Well, speaking of all that, Matt Sundin with us here in conversation on Sportsnet 650. A lot of people here in these parts here in Metro Vancouver and all across the province of British Columbia are really excited about another Swedish teenager, and that being Elias Pettersson. Have you had a chance to see him much at all firsthand? And what's been your assessment of the latest Swedish phenom? Because there's a lot of excitement about him out here.
Yeah, and with all right, he really dominated the Swedish Elite League this year. Tough to really, I'm trying to figure, he's really playing in his own type of game, but he's got everything you need to become a superstar in the National Hockey League. And also, don't forget, Ulf Dahlén's son, who's had a great season over here playing in Swedish hockey as well. So you have two new great prospects, chances to replace the fantastic Sedin twins that you had, which is going to be tough, but definitely, there's two great young Swedes coming to the Canucks organization, and I think you're going to enjoy them for many years to come.
You were so good, a Hall of Famer. As you watch the NHL, Mats, do you like where the game has gone? With someone with the size of Elias Pettersson, we think will come over and be able to be a big factor right away. Quicker, smaller, what Las Vegas has done. Do you enjoy it, how it's moved?
I do. I think that the main thing is that we started when I played at the end of my career too. The league started to get rid of the clutch and grab and the hooking and hold. And then as soon as you get into the playoffs, there was kind of whoever can grind it out the most is gonna move on. So I'm glad that we got that. And when you get that out of the game, the speed has gone up in the game. It has given players that, if you look at some of the guys that are playing in the National Hockey League today, wouldn't it be able to play in the National Hockey League the way it looked 10 or 15 years ago with the clutch and grab era? So obviously much more skill, much more passing, and the speed of the game has gone up. So I enjoy it, and it's all better, and it's more exciting to watch for the fans, for sure.
Mats, there's a conversation here right now in Vancouver about with Daniel and Henrik retiring, and I want to get your perspective on Daniel and Henrik. They're actually going to be here in studio at 12 o'clock today here with Sat and Alex Hald, and I want a story that maybe you can share with Daniel and Henrik shortly, but there's a kind of this filling the void of leadership here in Vancouver. You were seen, and when I covered you in Toronto for a few years, going about 10 years ago, and every guy that you played with, guys raved about you. They all loved Mats. Oh, you're a great guy, great guy. And I'm not just pumping your tires here, but these guys all loved you. What, first off, what makes a good leader?
Hello?
What makes a good leader?
Sorry, I missed that last part. I kind of lost you there.
Oh, okay.
I heard the part, yeah.
What makes a good leader?
Yeah, it's a good question, and we all, I think, known and looked at leaders in different positions, and if you even you look outside sports, but I think one main ingredient is to stay within your personality, who you are. I think there's a lot of different ways to lead. I would say if you look at Mark Messier, everybody would agree that's a great leader. Scott Niedermeyer, Nicholas Lidström was the captain for many years. Steve Yzerman, great leaders. Joe Sakic, who I played with and watched. All of those guys, pretty quiet guys. Like not a rah-rah guy in the dressing room, but wow, did they lead by example on the ice, in the dressing room, how they prepared for games, how they treated their teammates, how they treated the equipment managers, whoever runs the parking lot, and how they prepared to be as good as they can be. And I think if you have, to me, that's a great leader. You know, you show by example. You might be the highest paid guy on the team, but you're actually the hardest working person as well. And if you have that kind of a culture and atmosphere in the dressing room, that's going to spread to your young players and all the players that look up at you. That's going to give effect for the whole team, I think.
Mats, in 30 years in this business, I've never talked or heard an answer from a Swedish hockey player that's wrong or impolite. And you continue, and I'm sure Henrik and Daniel will do that for an hour today. Can you tell me, in the Swedish league, is there like a Brad Marchand? Is there a jerk somewhere in Sweden who has a Swedish passport?
Samuelson, Ulf Samuelson.
Well, is that it? Is Ulfie the only guy?
Yeah, there's always a few guys. But I think, you know what, I think Swedes and Canadians get along really well. I think you look at, there's a lot of, in management in the National Hockey League, that look at Swedish players, and a lot of coaches, management, GMs are happy with what they've been getting out of Swedish players over the years. And I think a big reason Swedes are usually, most of us, easy to adapt and be part of a team. We're I think, used from our backgrounds to work for a certain goal as a group, not necessarily having to be the big star yourself, but you're actually able to put a team and also the main goal where we're supposed to go ahead of your maybe your personal stuff. So I think there's a lot of that stuff. And plus, I think Canadians and Swedes are very similar in terms of our temper and what we do with our lives and our system. So I think that's one reason why Swedes fit in good in the National Hockey League.
Do you notice that Mats didn't say Swedes and Finns get along well there? Did you notice that?
Yeah, we know that. We stayed away. But what do you make of the 41 games you played here 10 years ago, Mats, in Vancouver?
Well, I wouldn't have been without him. It was for me, it was a last opportunity, first to play with a great team. It was a huge difference between the Toronto Maple Leafs that I left my last year and get an opportunity to play with one of the, in my opinion, top five teams and the in the league at that time. So it was a great opportunity. We had great goaltending. It was a great defense. We had the forwards. And if I don't recall, 2 years later, Vancouver lost in game seven, you know, in the Stanley Cup Finals. So for me, it was a great opportunity to try to get that championship that was missing in terms of the National Hockey League. But it was a great experience. I would have done it all over again if I had a chance.
So, Matt Sundin with us here on Sportsnet 650. We're going to give, there's an opportunity for, if you're a Mats fan or if you just happen to be a big time roller, there's an opportunity to hang out with you for a weekend, the Matt Sundin VIP weekend, which is happening June 8th to 10th on the other side of the country in Toronto. It's a whole lot of everything. Mats, tell us all about it because there's an opportunity to sign up here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually almost like a fantasy camp with and the National Hockey League alumni with Glenn Healy, and we're going to have a bunch of former National Hockey League players be part of this. It's going to be a mini tournament over the weekend, and we are going to go out and have some drinks. We're going to have, I know, some of my former teammates like Ty Domi, Curtis Joseph. There's a bunch of guys that signed up, so it's going to be a fun weekend for whoever's out there, enjoys the game of hockey, and to play with some former hockey players. It's going to be more like a beer league hockey game at this point for us, but it's really a great event for that, and we are going to go to the Hall of Fame, and we're going to do some other stuff for the weekend. So, and all proceeds goes to charity. I have my own foundation that is set up in Toronto and also for the NHL alumni. So great weekend for people to enter and also a great cause. So hopefully we'll have fun in Toronto there.
Now, that's you can check out more information for that at NHLalumni.org. And as you mentioned, you also get a partial tax receipt for this. So if you're interested in signing up and flying across the country for this to Toronto coming up June 8th to 10th in just a couple of weeks from now. And I love how you prioritize. We're going to get out for a couple
started
of drinks.
Started with drinks first.
Yeah, drinks were pretty high in the order there, Matt. So I respect that. It sounds like a good time.
How often do you put on the skates?
Summertime, nothing. But this winter, actually, I skated a lot more. And I'm actually, so we're going to do this event here in Toronto in June. I'm actually skating there's an outdoor game in August with Nick Henrik Lundqvist and Zuccarello from the Rangers that invited us. So I'm going to be skating a little bit just to stay in shape, but I'll be okay out there.
Where's the outdoor?
You're very humble.
Where's the outdoor game?
It's in Oslo, actually.
Oh, wow. Well, that'll be cool.
No, so I have to skate. So this Toronto event now, 8th to 10th in June, is going to be my pregame here. I got to
get
ready.
So when you go to this fantasy camp and there's some high rollers with maybe a little bit of a beer gut, out of the 100% effort level, what do you give against the average player? Is it like 1% and you still dominate? You have to go to 9%? What would the Matt Sundin scale be of effort?
It's funny how it is, because I've skated this winter and Once you get the skates on and the equipment and on, it doesn't matter if you're playing here in Stockholm against a bunch of players that some of them have skated a little bit, some nothing, but your competitive edge gets on no matter what the pace of the game is out there. So We'll be competitive. We'll play at the level we have to win. That's the only thing that matters.
That's the right answer.
Leadership, Perry. Leadership. That's leadership.
Is he having fun? I'm glad he's had fun. I'm glad that accountant is enjoying this, but he's not going to win. I'm going to go score three goals on my last shift.
Exactly.
Now I'm going to knock him out like Brad May at Rogers Arena that Mats did years ago. Hey, listen, Mats, Daniel and Henrik Sedin, you won Olympic gold with them in 2006. Is there a story that you can share that kind of sum up who they are? Nobody's got dirt on them, so but you've got to. I mean, look, man. I mean, you're Mats. You got to have something on these guys.
There's no dirt on them. Trust me. I've been trying to find it myself. There's nothing there. No, but I mean, I talk about great ambassadors for the great game of hockey, and I think a good story is no dirt on them. I mean, actually, building them up even more was when we won the gold in 2006. It's the only time Team Sweden has won an Olympic gold and actually won a tournament with all the different countries, like Canada had their best players, Russia had their best. It's the only time Team Sweden never won a medal before that and hasn't done since. And Daniel and Henrik came into that tournament, and we had obviously a stacked lineup, and they were fitted a role where they didn't came and they probably had the most points on our team. You're looking at the stats, but they were had given a role and played on a third line. They didn't have any power play time during the tournament. And you look back at the tournament, they were probably the most important players for Team Sweden. And they just took their role and they were the best player with the ice time they were given. And that just tells you who they are as people.
Well, Mats, listen, appreciate you doing this. I'm amazed what sticks with people in terms of memories. You've got so many iconic moments in the history of the National Hockey League. You're a Hockey Hall of Famer, and yet I still get people tweeting me to say, don't forget to ask him if he's had his chunky soup lately.
That's what you're remembered for, Mats.
And exactly. And everybody asked me, too, but is that your real mom in the Chunky Soup commercial? I said, no, it's not my real mom.
You know,
it's a commercial.
Mats, when you go to the bar during this fantasy camp and the guy, instead of guys ordering wings, you got to have a bunch of Chunky Soup come out to everybody.
I am. That's how
you got to start it that way.
I got to tell you, probably my favorite Mats Sundin commercial was the one that a lot of people forget, but the one where you walk into the McDonald's and everybody's chanting, we love Mats. And you kind of look like it's you say they're chanting your name, and then you realize it's Big Mac, and you're like, I love Max too. That was classic, man. That was well played.
I'm glad you remember, guys. Something with you guys for my career.
Thanks for doing this. NHLalumni.org is your opportunity to take part in the Mats Sundin VIP weekend. Nice to catch up with you. Have a great summer, and have fun playing dad.
Thanks, Mats.
Thanks, guys. Sportsnet 650.